David Stevens, and he's from a church that my family were some of the founding members, and it's the church that I grew up in all my life, and it's the First Assembly of God Church. Thank you.
Thank you for letting me be here tonight. Would you bow with me? Father, we are aware of your power and strength and your might. We come humbly to you, and we ask for your help today. We realize that in our own we can do nothing significant. We need wisdom from you, wisdom to know what to do. We need humility from you, humility to treat all equally. We need unity from you to work together as a body. Bring us together as a team, this community. No one of us is as strong as all of us or as wise as all of us. Forgive us, deliver us, and save us. Heal our land, bring healing to the people of Taylor County. And all these things we pray for our families, for our leaders, for businesses, jobs, for our economy, for health and success in every area of this community. We ask you to guide us today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let us allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome everyone here this evening. We're glad that you took out part of your evening to come be with us. Go over a couple of rules. If you would like to speak on something that's on the agenda tonight, just raise your hand and I'll try to see you. If I don't, wave at me or something to get my attention. If you want to speak on something that's not on the agenda, later on in the, on the agenda is the time when you can come forward and speak for 3 minutes. And if it's something that needs more than that, then we can agenda that for a later date. Number 3, approval of the agenda. This is where we add or take away or change something on the agenda. And tonight, I have something that I would like to add to the agenda. I would like to add Hampton Springs as 14A. Are there any other changes, additions, deletions, or anything else to tonight's agenda?
Motion to approve the amended agenda.
Second. Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Consent items 4 through 10. Is there a motion?
I move.
Second.
And a motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Public request number 11. The board to consider appointment of one individual to Taylor County Tourism Development Council Board as requested by Dawn Taylor, Tourism Development Director. And from what I read, we only have one applicant, and that was from Ben Sessions from Walgreens. Since we only have one, is there a motion to
Ben Sessions.
A motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Demps. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 12, the board to consider the appointment of one member to the Taylor Coastal Water and Sewer District TCWSP Board as requested by Diane Carlton, Office Manager. Again, we have one applicant, and that's Roger West, MD, who will take the vacated position of Joel Cemetery from 2016. Is there a motion?
I move.
Motion.
Got a motion by Commissioner Demps, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 13, the board to consider approval of proclamation declaring April as Water Conservation Month in Taylor County as requested by the Suwannee River Water Management District, SRWMD. Is there a motion to read the proclamation by title or first paragraph?
Okay.
Got a motion by Commissioner Demp, second by Commissioner Page. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop?
Whereas water is a basic and essential need of every living creature.
That's the first step.
That's a good start.
All right. It's for a motion to approve.
That water conservation month.
Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Okay, second.
Motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Constitutional officers, other government units. Item 14, Bruce Ratliff, county property appraiser, to appear to discuss the Florida property tax exemptions for senior citizens amendment. I don't see Mr. Ratliff.
Do you want to go with 14? Go ahead with 14A. He's on his way.
He's on his way?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
And we'll move on to item 14A, Country Springs. Well, we've probably all had a lot of calls about the pool being filled in at Hampton Springs. And I think most everybody is upset about what has happened. I'm upset about it. I did not know that we were going to fill it in like that. I don't believe this board has voted to fill it in like that. And it's part of our historical, it's part of history for us. I think it's a shame to fill it in. It's just like the courthouse. When the board, years ago, I guess maybe in 1969 or 68, something like that, Mr. Bishop, you may remember, but
69.
When they voted to tear down our historical courthouse, and I think that was a mistake, and I think that it's a mistake to fill in part of our historical site, filling in the pool at Hampton Springs. So, and I'm just speaking for me. I don't know what y'all think, but I think we need to take those blocks out of there and restore that pool back the way it was. And if I'll even go further to say we should restore it back better than it was. I know the thinking probably behind it. We got grant money. We spent a lot of money to restore Hampton Springs. We built restrooms, and we thought we were doing something good, and we did do something good. However, we've had some people, I guess, that didn't appreciate what was done out there, and they've abused it, and it's been a problem for a long time. The vandalism out there, and the bathrooms are in a mess, and people have run over the fence to get in there, and I do know there's a lot of things that go on out there that are illegal, that should not be happening out there, and I know since I've been here, we have discussed Hampton Springs quite a few times. And what are we going to do? Mr. Moody, you know, you've been part of that discussion. All of us have. And we've looked at options, but we never have decided on an option. One of them, and I brought this up 2 weeks ago, or whenever our last meeting was, about 2 weeks ago, of what a mess our parks are in, and that being one of them. And again, I wanted to talk about it that time, you know, having somebody to go out there, maybe they have a travel trailer or something and would want to stay out there and help us oversee it and everything, but we made no decisions 2 weeks ago of what to do. And until I saw it in the paper on Friday, I had no idea that we were about to fill in Hampton Springs Pool. I want it took back, I want the rocks taken out of it and put back the way it was. And then we need to discuss, maybe at the workshop on Thursday, what are we going to do to take care of Hampton Springs, to protect the citizens so nobody is hurt, try to eliminate the illegal activities that's going on out there, and make it safe. And the one thing I wanted to ask you, Mr. Bishop, if we were to bring that pool back and put a fence around it, and then put signs of do not enter or something, and then would that be enough to keep us from being liable if somebody decided to go over the fence anyway?
Well, if they do go over the fence, they're really assuming the risk. That's a legal defense to what they call an attractive nuisance. So never never say anything's 100%, because I'm going to sound like a liar. Watch out. But I think, you know, I was discussing it at my sister's house, and we were talking about a fence, you know. Did we have a fence there before that got torn down?
Yes, and handrail.
A handrail?
And they got cut off and hauled from the scrapyard and sold to the scrap.
That's what I was thinking, you know, and that's what my sister told me too. I think if you just left it there without a fence around it, you'd have a problem. You know, anybody that has a swimming pool at their house, you know, you need a fence around it or a screen or something like that, because, you know, little children that's walking into it, it's what we call an attractive nuisance. So if you're gonna put the pool back to the way it was, or even better than it was, it would be my recommendation, of course, to put a fence around it and put signs on it too, you know, with it. And that would be a good, that would be a defense to any, now it's not 100% defense, but it would be good evidence that y'all did everything possible. And of course, the uproar about having it there too is something that's considered when you're defending yourself. If you understand what I'm saying on that.
Yes.
So to answer your question, qualified, yes ma'am.
I don't want us to lose the historical value of anything else in Taylor County. I think it's important to restore that and to maintain that area, because it does have a lot of history. That's part of our Taylor County history. And if anybody else has got any opinion, now's the time to say it.
How long has it been since you've been there?
About a year.
Was the spring flowing over into the pool when you were there, and the pool just had a concrete bottom down about 8 foot deep?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No handrail, nothing.
No. Mm-hmm.
Little rail last year. Somebody walk up and trip over and fall right down on that concrete. Right. What they were trying to do is what the engineer told me, our engineer, and Mr. Lakin. They weren't filling the pooling all the way. They were going to fill it up right up to where the water level come out of the spring, and concrete it in where the water could flow across the top of it. And if they wanted to stop the hole up on the west side for it to fill up under there, it wouldn't be but about that deep, you know, from the hole where the spring comes out to the bottom. And then somebody couldn't fall 8 or 9 foot down there into the concrete. And I've seen them clean it out, stop the hole up, let the spring fill it up, and you couldn't see the bottom end because that sulfur water got that sulfur in it, you know. And it, you know, somebody with a youngin' that they didn't even see if it was in there, you know. But it doesn't hold the water now unless you stop the drain. Mm-hmm. But what they were going to do, they were going to take the level on top of the rock, concrete it about that far from down, you know, up and down. And the spring's still flowing, it's flowing into it now. It'll flow out across the concrete and then go down and go into the wading pool that's on the other side and then go into the river. I mean, that's what their gig was, cut down, make it safe. That's what they're trying to do.
And I understand the safety and the liability, and, you know, we've sat here for a long time and we've done nothing. But for somebody to go in and do what they've done without, you know, this board voting on it and say, yes, that's what we want to do, I'm upset about that.
Well,
and I think the public is upset about that,
too. The public is upset, but I went down there yesterday and spent some time down there. And a lot of people come to look at it. And once I explained to people, and they had little children, one of them almost fell over in the... There's another place where you fall into the creek, and it's got a rock bottom in it, too. 8 or 9 foot drop, and it's got a little rail out of it. And the young'un was waiting around, and one of them almost fell in there while I was there. Once I explained it to the people, what they were going to do to make it safer, they were satisfied with that. I mean, you saw on Facebook probably where they pressure washed it, cleaned it up, got all the glass and beer bottles and hypodermic needles and all that stuff out of it every now and then. But the place was a really mess, and it was a hazard, and Mr. Lakey and the engineer were trying to make it safe, what they were doing. And we hired Mr. Lakey to look out for us for liability, and I thought that's what he was doing. You know, I mean, he might, we'd have had people talking about it. We'd have put it in the paper up front if we'd got some input on it. But we were trying to make it safe is what we're trying to do.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jim, I didn't see you, but I was out there also yesterday afternoon. And the first gentleman that Benny and I met had driven all the way from Quitman, Georgia down there to see the devastation. And his comment was, well, at least we didn't stop up the spring. And while there were a bunch of teenagers, and they were throwing those nice, whatever number of rock that is, on top. They were pitching them in the creek. And, I mean, I didn't confirm. I really think we made a mistake when we didn't communicate to the Historical Society and the public about what our plan was. And a lot of folks that are still upset about it. And I don't know any way to appease them except to put it back like it was and try something different. Our intentions were to alleviate this liability problem we've got, make it safe for people. So we didn't have any even bad intentions. And we did not vote on anything, but we did, I recall, we had a discussion. And that was several months back. And I think our road department got busy on a project down in Steen Hatchie, maybe. And we kind of waited a little while. But I'm going to have to agree with Commissioner Feeble that we need to put it back like it was and go back to Plan B, which is the defense.
I don't reckon I have defeated either way. We have to see about our 1 hour ahead. Sometimes they make a decision and the public don't understand it, and I don't reckon we can educate everybody. But that's one. When I went down there and take some pictures down there 2 years ago when I was camping there, I thought it was a headache.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, I didn't see it either. And when we talked about it, and we have a tendency to do that sometimes, we talk about it and we don't complete it. So now, the Catch-22 situation we get. When you say they drove from Whitman, Georgia down here?
That's for the jungle check. You know, he's evidently on Facebook seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
And he was under the impression we covered the spring and everything.
Well, I understand what you had president come here one time and dip in that spring. Yeah. I didn't know even if I was in. Sure, I know some people were sick, probably would have enjoyed going down there if you had that. But when we put it back, what are we going to do by the end? Continue to let it.
When you dig the rock out, you're going to end up with another 8 foot hole people fall in.
Yeah.
What you going to end up with?
Well, the fence was suggested. And I think we got enough welder to take down. We can design a fence that probably be heavy enough that wouldn't tow it off. And, you know, you can't build a fence high enough, can't climb over. I guess we can get bars and panels from President Trump on the Mexican border. Then you can see Putin. Let me ask you, my visit yesterday afternoon out there. We sat on the bench, beautiful afternoon, the wife and I, and watched us throwing trouble in the rocks. And she got some mad. She said, I think I'll call the dispatch. They let another ride through with the deputy. I said, well, it's up to you. I'm not telling you what to do. But while she was enjoying the beautiful afternoon, a young kid came. He'd been swimming wet. He came to the bathroom, which I had just went out and looked. I did not see any needles or anything around there because they'd been cleaned up. The doors were open. The bathrooms were in a terrible mess. And the kid went in there. I don't know which one he went into. He changed into some dry clothes. Now, we have got to somehow or other have somebody out there, even if it means paying somebody, to keep the place up and watch out for the vandalism. We talked about asking somebody with an RV to give them a free place to park it and pay their light bill. And if they do the work, but give them a little stipend. It would be expensive to hire a full-time park ranger, but that's actually what we need. You know, you work 5 days a week, but when you talk about hiring people, you're spending a lot of taxpayer money. So, I don't do Facebook. And my wife is an avid Facebook reader. And if it has to do with the county, she'll get me to listen. And she'll read it to me. And I'm in it with a pile of folks that have waylaid us about the decision to fill up that pool. Even at the church yesterday, two of our very good church members, I had one of my new members on Facebook, so we had a discussion at a little coffee break at the church. And they are not happy with what we did. Again, I want to emphasize, the board tried to do good. And sometimes when you try to do good, you're punished for it. And we just made a mistake. We should have rolled it out to the press and historical society first. We got their input, perhaps. A thought I had, and then I'm going to hook. Would the historical society be interested in managing that property?
We can't manage what we got.
Pardon?
We can't manage what we got.
Well, we've got to work out a deal where we can get a stipend.
I understand.
Yeah.
I think somebody there, but if we can't get it cleaned up, we need to sell it. My grandparents, Mary Hampton and Billy, they were equivalent. I'm probably not even familiar with that kind of, but that's embarrassing to see what's out there now.
It is.
That's the way I felt when I went out
there. We've had a gentleman ask us if he could take over the place and clean it up and run it, but we just talked that we went right over our head. We just put it off. We should have done something then.
I want to ask our grants director to come up and explain. My understanding is that we've got grant money and we can't sell it or get rid of it. Would you explain to the board, to the public, exactly what we can and can't do with that since it was renovated with grant money?
A large portion of it was renovated with Bureau of Historic Preservation money, the pool portion of it, and the spring area was done with grant money and the excavation. We also had transportation enhancement grant funds that funded a large portion of it. It funded all the parking, the sidewalks, the surveys, the new bridge that was construction. It was right at $1 million project before all that was done. The hillside was cut out there that used to be a dump site, and that put in the original.
Crown, you go in.
Mm-hmm, it did the original, where the original driveway was, but a considerable amount of money was spent out there over the years. The site also has a state historic number on it. It's a state registered historic site, so I'm not sure, you know, what the repercussions would be as far as that. I'm not sure if that was checked into, but it does have a state master site file number on it also.
So there is the possibility that someone could purchase that then?
I don't believe so. I'm not sure how much the transportation enhancement funds are guaranteed for. I would say it's 25 years like everything else, but I would not think so since it has a master site file number on it. I would think the county would have to maintain ownership. I know the Bureau of Historic Preservation grant agreements, we agreed to have it open to the public for a period of time, but I believe the transportation enhancement funds go well past that because transportation enhancement funds are actually part federal dollars too.
Commissioner?
We need to find out if we can
make it. Hold on just a second.
Yeah. What? Now, I read the paper, what the paper said. How big a space did they cover up? Is it 40 by 40, 20 by 40, 34 by 40?
Big pool, which is probably what, 20 by 20?
It's about 20 by 30.
20 by 30?
At the most.
Yeah.
30.
And I imagine that, that the rocks that are in there are probably at least 4 feet or maybe more.
Okay. Did they tear the wall down or just?
No, they just filled it in up the just below the inlet of the spring flowing into it. What they were going to do is just lower the, they were going to bring the floor up where it would be safe.
Okay.
Is what they were doing. I mean, that's what the plan was. I didn't know about it neither to doing, but the thing was, once I got questions about it, I thought they were going to do it. Just laking today is exactly what the engineer.
That's what it looks like now. How's that there today?
Well, thank you.
It was still going to be a pool. It just wasn't going to be 8 foot deep. I mean.
Well, the whole thing that upsets me is that this is a big deal. And I didn't know anything about it until I saw the paper. So I didn't vote on it. None of us voted to go ahead and do that. And we did talk options. We've talked options forever of what we can do, what we can do. And again, it's the reason I brought it up 2 weeks ago. Let's quit talking about it. Let's do something about it. But we continue to just, you know, when I said let's do something about it, I didn't say go out next week and fill it up. I, you know, it was my intention that let's make plans to really actually do something to make it safe and clean and where it can be enjoyed and stop the vandalism and the illegal activities that go on. But again, I mean, it's just part of our history of Taylor County. And it meant something, it means something to people now, just like the old courthouse did. And I just don't want to see, you know, I'm not happy about it either.
Well, they weren't going to fill it up where you wasn't going to be a fool. They were filling it up. They were looking out for the liability of the taxpayer of Taylor County, what they're doing. I mean, that was the ideal, to make it safe where somebody couldn't fall over in. I mean, there wasn't no water in. All the young men do is run up there and look right at this woman because they've been there. It's all the concrete.
That's right.
And they thought they were doing the right thing.
Okay, then, I mean, I understand that. And obviously the mistake was there was not enough of communication. And I think that things of that magnitude should be brought before the board for the board to vote on. And that way we're not blindsided when the paper comes out and, you know, you've got this many people upset about something and saying really bad things about us. Yes.
You may want to try. When we did the fence the first time, we did it based on appearance. Water Management actually funded that fence for us, and they wanted to do it to maintain where it looked pretty. And what we did was a wrought iron fence that was lightweight, and
yeah,
it was based on looks. And someone, you know, backed up and pulled a portion of it down with a pickup truck and then left it there. So maybe, you know, if you tried a much sturdier fence, because what we did the first time was just based on it looking to maintain a pretty look about it.
Okay. Well, here's what I suggest then, is that we have a workshop Thursday night, and let's come prepared to make some decisions. First of all, that we're going to put it back the way it was, which is where I'm probably going to be. But let's come prepared to make some decisions and not keep talking about it and putting it off of what we're going to do to make it safe and nice. And, you know, what are the hours that it's going to be open? You know, I don't think people have any business out there at night, but these are all the details that we can discuss on Thursday. And I would say let's don't do anything else to it until we can discuss it Thursday night and make some decisions.
I'd like for us to be able to find out for sure what we can do with it,
okay,
or we can discuss with a little common sense Thursday night.
Mr. Bishop.
You can certainly discuss what some ideas, but you can't make a decision at a workshop.
Yeah.
Or you turn
it. Well, I mean, we can make decisions and vote on it at the next regular meeting.
We can vote tonight.
Well,
on the agenda.
Do you want to make a motion or do you want me to pass the gavel and make a motion?
I'll make a motion. we direct our county administrator to remove the rocks and other material from the swimming pool in Hampton Springs and restore it as best as you can to the way it was. And then Thursday, this is part of my motion, we'll discuss the fencing and what our options are for safety.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second. If we'll add into that to make it safe with some kind of fence just as quick as possible, if you're going to have an 8-foot hole, right, solid concrete bottom, people will fall in there.
I'll amend my motion to incorporate Commissioner Moody's thoughts. All right.
All right, we have a motion and we have a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 14.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
I know you directed me to clear it out, and we certainly can do that. That riprap and rocks was never a permanent solution anyway. What I'll do, though, is when we clear it out, from now, I'll put a chain link fence around it. That's okay with everybody until y'all can vote and have, you know, discussion on where we're going to go further with the fence. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Yes. Okay. I just want to know that I will put a chain link fence up. I don't know about any shocks in chain link fence out there or anything.
And you might want to put signs up, too.
Sure.
Do not enter.
Okay, sure.
Or whatever's appropriate to keep people from, but they know, don't go in here.
Yeah, until we get some kind of additional funding or ideal.
How y'all proceed?
Thank you. Steve, we need to try to figure out for information Thursday night what we can do and what we can't. She said she don't think we can do certain things with it. We need to find out what we, how much we can do with it. You know, if we can lease it out, if we can sell it, we need to know, because we've had somebody want to lease it and take care of it. Mm-hmm. And that, we really need to find out what we can do and what we can't.
I think that was done before when y'all talked about it.
Also, too.
I think there was a, something about the grants that you couldn't do anything with it. Mm-hmm.
That was my understanding.
And I can go back and look in the minutes and see what.
I mean, if he would like her to re-verify that was my understanding. Now, the person that you're talking about, I think I probably know because he talked to me a couple of weeks ago, and I think he would still be interested. But, I mean, if we could do something like that, but, I mean, we just want to preserve this history, whatever way we go.
Well, he talked to me this morning about it, and, you know, he still wants to know what he could do. You know, he's interested. I mean that's still on the table.
Yeah. Okay.
But, I mean, we just, if we can lease it or whatever, we just need to know exactly what we can do. And then we can go from there.
Well, the intent was never to diminish that as a historical site.
Right.
Never.
I can't.
It was just to solve the liability issue that was hanging up.
You did the right thing. We're not throwing rocks at you. Because you were trying to make it safe with what you're trying to do, and I understand that. And everybody else should understand that.
And Mr. Lackey, we hired you to keep us out of trouble. You can call that. And you were trying to look out for the liability issue.
Yes.
And I think our insurance carrier had brought this to your attention.
I think it brought not only my attention, I think way back.
Way back.
Way back.
Well,
before
all of us, common sense, we had a liability problem. We just didn't communicate the plan to the public.
All right, that's it. It's all good, but what about the other places we got around here? But like the one we just got through down at Steve Hanson. Is that a hole down there?
That is. Stingley Springs?
Yeah.
Stingley Springs is not a pool that you could fall in. I think it's more of a slope.
Okay.
Melody maybe connects that better, but it's a slope, beach-like, and it's a little bit more difficult.
So somebody could walk down
there? Yes. And easily get out, what I understand.
Mm-hmm. Do we have swim at your own risk at Stingley Springs?
Yes.
Good.
It's good signage.
Good.
It's got more good signage. Mm-hmm. And the people there, we're not having any trouble. They're even swimming now. It was cold, but they're swimming.
Yeah.
The people around there, and we walk it every other day or so, everybody does. A lot of our folks are down there. It's not like it's, Hampton Springs is out there. It's out by itself. and that's part of your problem.
There's a lot of problems.
Yeah.
A lot of problems.
That's where, why you have, ours is in a community.
Okay.
And, you know, it does make a difference.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Item 14, Bruce Rattler, county property appraiser, to appear to discuss the Florida property tax exemptions for senior citizens amendment. Mr. Rattler?
Thank you. Good evening, Board.
Good evening, Chair.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Shelby, you want to pin some of these items out? I think you all know our office manager, Shelby Beach.
Been known for quite a while.
Good hire.
Exactly, 100% on that. Big story behind that.
Yeah.
That was a blessing.
The last time I appeared before you, we talked about, Commissioner Moody brought up to me a discussion of our senior citizens exemption that exists. State of Florida voted this in several years ago. 61 of the 67 counties in the state use some form of the senior citizens exemption. Ones that do not, it is Citrus, Dixie, Marion, Pasco, Pinellas, and Taylor. And everyone else has some sort of senior citizens discount. There's several options. I'll just kind of go back over what we talked about at the last meeting. Several options there. It's up to the Board of County Commissioners to adopt at what level you would like to give an additional homestead exemption to a senior citizen that's over 65 and meets the family income thresholds, which today, it changes periodically, but today it's $29,000 for our gross household income, $29,000 and change. So you have the ability or you have the authority to go from zero to $50,000 in additional homestead exemption. Your other option was the home less than $250,000. You've lived in the home for 25 years. You're totally 100% exempt on the county portion of the property tax. From our earlier discussions, I think that was one we wanted to do much research on. So, after discussing this, the board wanted to do some research, come back and see if I could give us some kind of fiscal impact of what you would see in the event we were to adopt any additional homestead exemption thresholds there. So we gave you a little scenario there, and on the front sheet, we gave you the $5,000 if you chose for it to be $5,000 additional exemption, a $10,000 or $25,000. This would affect the county millage and the MSTU, which is the two separate pieces here on the front piece. So if you had a $5,000 exemption, and we had 5,205 homesteads. According to the census report, 19.2 of our citizens are over the age of 65. So with that being said, there would be potentially 999 eligible, that's 19.2% of the total homesteads. Now, we don't know that number exactly, but that was the best information that we had available that we could. So we took the worst case scenario and we said, okay, the $5,000 exemption, that would be $4,996,800 times the millage rate is $36,000. Okay, revenue lost to the county.
Would be $36,000.
That's correct. Plus,
based on our assumptions.
Based on 100%, everybody is eligible and there are
some people who are age 65 and over whose income exceeds $29,000.
That's correct. There's a lot of more pieces, but we're getting there.
All
right. I painted you the worst case scenario picture. The reason we can't go into any more detail is I don't have the income information. Yeah. I don't have those people that would qualify, and then I don't have their income information to whether they would reach that income maximum or minimum thresholds. So it's kind of the only thing I can paint for you is a worst case scenario, which is what best case, worst case, however you want to look at it, is what we tried to do. So that's what page one is there. And that gives you your $5,000, $10,000, and $25,000 exemptions, whichever one you would choose to consider. Okay? Second page of that is just an example of, once again, the three scenarios, 5,000, 10,000, and 25,000. What it would actually mean to someone, what their bill would reflect. And we'll just take with a $5,000 exemption at $35,000 in value, it would equate to $156 would be their tax bill before. Their tax bill after would be $113, a $42 savings. Mm-hmm. When you have someone that's on Social Security that has $700-$800 a month coming in, you know, I think $42 is significant on their tax bill. If you drop down to the $10,000, take the same scenario, it's an $84 difference on their tax bill. And if you drop one down to the $25,000, in the same scenarios, it would be 84 also on that one. But I try to give you a little range of taxable values of the households, and then what their bill would be, and then what their bill is after the exemption. In the yellow column, you can see 42, 48, 84, all the way up to 210 on the $25,000 exemption. Make sense? Okay. Here's last page there, which is a graph.
I like graphs.
Oh yeah, graphs are good. We ran some scenarios with our homesteads. And let's just say $0 to $25,000, which the current homestead exemption will take care of that whole value, and they don't have a tax bill anyway. 11.8% of those are in existence, and so we wipe that almost 12% out of that original number. You know, if you take the 36,000 on the first page there, and you take the 12% out of that, 10% would be 3,600, so you know, close to $3,800. Now you got it down to less than $30,000. We're just not aware, we don't know who's going to come in and apply. And if they do come in and apply, we don't know their income. So a lot of this information is data, but it's the best data that we have available to give you some type of financial impact that this would have in the event you chose to enact it. So that's my report.
Can I ask a question? Do you have adequate staff to verify the income?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah.
And you would require whatever your Social Security check is, or your bank statement, or...
We have, yeah, we have,
sir. You know that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll be happy to take care of that. We do it with existing people we have.
Well, I'd like to do something for elderly folks. I'm one of them. So I don't think it would probably benefit me for other reasons, not them all that afternoon.
Well, you said 29,000 and all that total income for the house.
Yes.
For the house.
Mm-hmm. In the packet we handed you.
Yes,
no,
that's not.
Okay.
All
right.
Just some additional information. It has that
income. Originally in 2001, these income thresholds were $20,000, and over the years they have increased with inflation, and so we're now at $29,454. Is our combined household income,
mm-hmm.
whether that be one, two, or multiple household incomes.
Otherwise, if you've got $250,000 house, you got $29,000 income, can you afford that house? Can you buy it? Can you pay a light bill for it with it?
You know, you can. It would be
can you buy groceries?
Yep.
No insurance?
Mm-hmm. It would be difficult. But the person that has a $40,000 home, who's on Social Security and limited income,
you have to pay. You got
$40,000.
$25,000 is the threshold right now.
That's correct.
Everybody gets $25,000.
That's correct.
If they apply.
That's correct.
Okay.
I certainly would like to do something. As
I'm about in my district and in the community, not just my district, but there are a lot of that need help, and the older people, you know, they work, they've done everything they could do, and some of them are having a really hard time. I met a couple last week that, you know, I just felt so sorry for because their income is very low, and they're doing the best they can just to, you know, have the essentials, food, power, you know, so I certainly want to do something. I don't know tonight what I want to do. I think this sure. board needs mm-hmm. to discuss this in a workshop, and then after we've all talked, come up with what we think is the best scenario, but I'd like to do something.
Great.
I'd like to do something. But we have time to study this. Now, if I may, you know,
sure.
Senility's kicking in here. These numbers on page one, the first handout.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to grant an additional 5,000 exemption for those age 65 and over, makes $29,000 less,
mm-hmm.
what the net effect would be on county government would be $36,000.
Yes, and if my numbers are true and the ratios are working, 11.8% of that is under the $25,000 already. So you could take another. Just say
yeah, I think yeah, that's an optimistic. It wouldn't actually
yeah.
cost.
I think it is.
And so the 10,000 would be 72,000. But then not everybody that comes in that's age 65. You know, not all of them are gonna qualify.
No.
So. Let me start over the third.
I really wanted to be able to give you guys some sense of where our tax roll might be going, and that way, you know, in the event we were seeing an increase in taxable value, you know, that would be maybe help overcome some of this. We're not there yet. From the real estate side, 60% of tax roll is real estate. And we were just going over some of our sales and numbers, and I'll throw you through a few numbers out there. Number of sales in 2015 was 588. We had 588 transactions in 2015. In 16, we had 478. A reduction, election year, pretty common. Economy kind of, you know, sits back and looks to see what's going to happen with the election, and then kind of moves from there. 2017, we had 776.
Nice job.
Nice jump. But not seeing much jump in value along with those numbers. Values are kind of staying the same. So we're not thrilled with it, but that's just kind of a quick snapshot when I kept seeing these numbers as far as numbers of units changing hands. I said, okay, we're going to see, you know, some increase in different areas, whether it be commercial vacant or commercial improved, residential vacant, you know, ag properties, and so we just hadn't quite seen the numbers that we expected early on, or our thought might be. But we'll finish that up, and then the tangible side of the roll is 40%, and we don't have those returns yet, so I have no idea. But just early discussion. So I wish I had more to tell you on where the tax roll would be, but it's a little early yet.
May I say that it's my understanding that when we begin the budget process for this year, because of the pay raise that we gave employees last December. And some other maybe cost overruns, we're going to be starting out with a $350,000 deficit to cover first. And then you add this to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, we're going to have to find some more revenue or do some more cutting. Or else you're going to have to, I don't know. If you can't justify increasing the value of property, you just can't. That's the bill, what it is.
That's where it is. So I'll be in contact with Mr. Lakey and with any projections that we have, you know, for him to pass along to you as soon as we can start getting some of them where you can be more helpful in your workshops.
Well,
so.
When I read the paper, not this paper, but when I read the other papers, which I do daily, aren't there other areas nearby that they're saying that their property values are going up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so why is that?
Strictly sales. You know, the approach to value, there's three approaches to value.
There's a sales comparison approach, which is our most common. We take sales of similar properties and compare them to each other, and then compare that to our assessed value, and then that gives us an idea of where that value is going, either up or down. So the sales comparison is the first thing we normally look at. And then we turn on the cost approach, meaning sticks and bricks and mortar and two to fours. And you know, we throw that in also to look at that. That's on a per square footage basis. And then in some businesses applications, we can look at the income approach. Storage units would be a real, you could do an income approach on them, or a hotel or something like that. And you can determine value by the income. By the income stream, you can determine that. So, but the main is the sales comparison, and sales are just up in other areas. And we, at this point in time, haven't seen, we're not finished, but we haven't seen that influx of sales increase, just in the number of units.
What I see with it is the people that need it the most, this will help them.
Yes, sir.
That is the key to it. That's really not brought to our attention to try to work on now on this. Because really, I've got people in my district that really have a hard time.
Commissioner Moody, I have them every day in my office.
The figures will work out not near as high as what this is because there's so many of them. But there is the one that really having a hard time, this will help them a little bit. And that's about the company blessing for
them. And I would think these numbers are, these are absolutely highest case scenario. I could probably come up with. So I don't think they're going to be that by any means.
Any other questions? If not, thank you so much.
Thank you all. Thank you for having me. God's giving
you.
I would love to be able to do something about it.
Yeah, and you know, with our budget coming up, it won't be that long between the end of budget sessions again. We'll need to certainly be discussing this before then at that time. County staff items, number 15. The board to consider approval of proposed ship recipients, work write up bid forms, and invitation to bid for the demolition and reconstruction of one home and the rehabilitation of two homes as attended by the grants director.
All three homeowners have been qualified to the ship program to receive assistance. Mr. Holden will be receiving a demo and new construction. Mr. Edwards and Mr. Gilliard will be receiving rehab.
Thank you. We need to declare related. I'm not related to any of these three people.
Not related.
Not related.
Not related. Where did Greenville get me? How's that Greenville?
Shady Greenville. Grove has a Greenville address.
And yeah, it's Shady Grove.
We need to change that one.
We can't. I have tried. That's my district. I have talked to the U.S. Postal Service people, and that's not going to happen.
I don't know if it's still the same way. My group, Candy Grove, where our address was. That one, box 256.
Lamont.
Lamont. It's still Lamont.
It's still Lamont.
It's still Lamont. That's my district. So, yeah, that's just, that's not going to change anytime soon. But this is right in the middle of Shady Grove. So it is in Taylor County. I can tell you that, yeah. Verify that. Okay, is there a motion?
I move.
We have a motion by Commissioner Demp, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 16, the board to consider approval of request for qualification, RFQ documents for grant writing and program administration services for Restore Act and other applicable grants as agended by the grants director.
On the last item, Ms. Anyman, you always ask me who the bid committee is, and it will be LaWanda Pemberton, Jane Mosley, Jamie Boothby, and myself.
Is there a motion?
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Demp, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
I believe I read that cost can come out of the grant.
On the RFP, yes, it will come out of the grant money.
Okay.
We felt like it would be in the best interest to do it this way, to streamline things, given that we have the new rail grant, we have several other projects going on.
I agree with that.
And then perhaps, like on the second, since we'll have this under our belt and have all the environmental issues, we can do it the second ourselves.
We need the committee members from the actual RFQ.
Okay.
But I'm holding on here, but when they do that, because it's got to be advertised and all that.
Right, right.
Okay, this question was approved.
Thank you.
Item 17, the board to consider approval of Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission FOC grant application for Buckeye Reef Enhancement Construction and Deployment Project as attended by Victor Blomkow, Marine Agent.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Got a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion?
I'd like to say a couple things about asking Victor. These are going to be some shallow water reefs, aren't they?
Sorry?
Are y'all working on some shallow water reefs right now? Trying to get that situation.
Isn't the plan to try to identify a place in shallow waters that may be suitable to get a permit and in the future to deploy new artificial reefs? But this grant is only for the Buckeye Reef,
right,
which is the
right
one that is permitted.
I understand that, but I've heard rumor that y'all were working on
some
shallow water reef. There's so many people in Pelican don't have a big enough boat to go offshore to the deeper reef, and we're really short-handing a lot of people not having some shallow water reef.
Yeah, in the short term, the plan is first maybe to do a site scan in the Andrew Reef, which is not permitted anymore, and re-permitted, and maybe expand the site to do some deployments there, and in the meantime also try to identify this shallower site, get it committed, and then apply for a grant to do some deployments in shallow water. The thing is that we have these large seagrass beds in the shallow water areas, and we need to find some sandy areas, and that's why I've been talking with people in Skagenachi and some people really know the coast here, and they have pre-identified some sites. So the idea is to go out there and do some baseline studies to see if it
might work. There's a lot of places from the Oklahoma River all the way to Skagenachi, just past the river line, that has got sand bottom, grass and stone, from out in front of Finn all the way out from Rock Island,
yep,
right on down deep between the Oklahoma. I mean, it would be, and there's deep enough water to have a safe, shallow reef there.
Yes.
So we really need to work in that direction.
Yes. In April, actually, we're having a workshop, which I wanted to coordinate here in Perry, but FWC asked to do it in Cedar Key. And we are, I'm the coordinator of the workshop that's for the north central part of Florida. And we will have the person in the U.S. Corps of Engineers who is in charge of the permitting there, and I'm going to talk to him about this idea we have for Taylor County.
We talked about that, but it's just, it needs to come fast in some kind of way, you know.
What's the shallow water reef? How deep is it down the shallows?
That's exactly what we need to clarify with this specialist, because when you place an artificial reef in the water, you have to leave some relief for safety boating.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we want to see, if we have to go further of 10 foot deep or 15 foot deep. But I think must be around that deep.
Mm-hmm. There are some places that 10 or 12 foot deep at dead low tide, close to shore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
I forget, did we vote on that?
I don't think we
need to. Is there a motion?
I think I made the motion.
Yeah, it's been a motion to say that you didn't vote on.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Uh-huh.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. General business number 18. The board to consider adoption of draft resolution to request designation of U.S. Highway 98 Bridge over the Ecofinger River in recognition of Staff Sergeant Edward C. Sheffield, as agended by Pam Stevens.
Would somebody like to make a motion to read the entire resolution?
We got our coming to read the entire resolution.
We got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
The resolution of the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County, Florida, in support of designating the U.S. Highway 98 bridge over the Tiofina River in recognition of U.S. Army Korean War XPO POW, which is prisoner of war, Staff Sergeant Edward C. Sheffield, requesting that the Florida Department of Transportation designate U.S. Highway 98 bridge over the Tiofina River as the Staff Sergeant Edward C. Sheffield Memorial Bridge, providing for transmittal and providing an effective date. Whereas Edward C. Sheffield was born in Cabbage Grove, attended Taylor County High, and worked for Florida Forestry until he enlisted in the Army at the age of 19. And whereas Sergeant Edward C. Sheffield, having enlisted in the United States Army, served his country bravely from January 1949 to 1954 in the 63rd Field Artillery, 24th Division, HQ, I guess that's headquarters, BTN, during his service period, and whereas he was transferred to Japan and then called to Korea when the war started, he was in Korea only 14 days when his unit was overrun, and whereas Sergeant Sheffield was subsequently captured as a prisoner of war for 37 months, 14 and a half days, and whereas while in captivity, he survived the 100-mile death march, multiple serious injuries, and was called one of the Tiger survivors, and whereas Sheffield was released from captivity August 30th, 1953, and then re-enlisted in the United States Army, participated in six major battles, and especially specialty was Chief of Communications, and whereas for his service in Korea, Sheffield was awarded the Purple Heart Combat Infantry Badge, Army Presidential Unit Citation, Korean Presidential Unit Citation, Army Good Conduct Medal, USA Condemnation Medal, Prisoner of War Medal, Army Occupation Medal, National Defense Service Medal, Korean Service Medal with Battle Stars, and the United States Nation Service Medal and Bronze Star. And whereas the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County desires to recognize and honor Staff Sergeant Edward C. Sheffield's service to our country by requesting that the U.S. Highway 98 bridge over the Tiofina River dedicated to Staff Sergeant Edward C. Sheffield. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County, Florida, that one, the Board hereby expresses its support in designating U.S. Highway 98 bridge over the Tiofina River in Taylor County, Florida, to be known as the Staff Sergeant Edward C. Sheffield Memorial Bridge. Two, the Board requests that the Florida Department of Transportation perform the designation of the U.S. Highway 98 bridge over the Tiofina River in honor of Staff Sergeant Edward C. Sheffield, and that the FDOT place and maintain the appropriate markers. Three, the clerk of the circuit court, ex officio clerk to the Board of County Commissioners, is hereby directed to provide a copy of this resolution to Taylor County's legislative delegation into the Florida Department of Transportation. Passed and duly adopted this 5th day of March, 2018.
Thank you so much. You said a lot of nice things about our Ed Sheffield at our last meeting, and everybody that knows him knows he's known as a veteran in Taylor County. We have a lot of wonderful, good veterans. He served his country, he sacrificed, and he suffered, and I think he well deserves this honor. I'm so proud to be able for us to help him make that bridge after him. Is there a motion?
I move.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Dempsey, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries. On the attorney, item 19, the county attorney to discuss Root versus Taylor County and Johnny Driggers mediation.
You'll look at your packet. There's a letter from me to Ms. Annie Mae and Ted and Alana that there's a mediation scheduled for March 21st, 2018, 10 o'clock a.m. Maybe put it at my office instead of going off someplace else. There was a fellow by the name of Matthew Hall who was representing the county. I've worked with Matthew before. It's my request that y'all appoint a commissioner to go with him for that mediation.
I would like to do that if I could.
Yes, that's good. Is there a motion?
Motion that we ask Mr. Moody to serve our attorney in this mediation process.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner Moody. Item 20, the county attorney to discuss the survey of Dean Road.
I've written a letter again to Annie Kidd and Lawanda. It should be in your package with a copy of the survey. Essentially, what this was, and I went out there and looked at it, if y'all recall, there was a fence that Mr. Berryhill was complaining that this fence went on the county right-of-way. And I thought that the best way to see if there was, in fact, any encroachment on this fence was to have a survey. With that warning, or the Latin term caveat, like what Mr. Rowell told me, and I know for a fact, you know, surveyors are kind of like, I was going to say Don. I knew somebody was going to say that, so I was all set for you there, whoever said that. Uh-huh. You know, a doctor can tell you, well, this is what's wrong with you, and then you go get a second opinion, and the other doctor says, no, I ain't wrong with you, you're fine. And they're just had an example of that when I was talking to one of the lawyers in the office. But if you look at it, and I've got a bigger copy of it here for y'all to look at. Where the X's are, the X's in the blue, I'm going to go right to each one of you and see that. See the X there?
Right.
The blue.
Right.
That's the county property line?
No, sir, that's where the fence is.
Okay. And not in the road.
Just a minute. I see. Okay. You see?
You see?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Y'all can't see. Anyway, okay. Stop that.
I'm gonna break it.
Okay. So what happens with this is the right of way, the black, and then the blue line is where the fence is. And so what Dale did was he measured from the blue line to the right of way line, and right there it's 4.2 feet. In other words, the fence is over in the right of way by 4.2 feet. But as it goes, as the man puts the fence in, it goes down to 3.3 feet. And then it just about goes right along the line. So the question, always the question, is to be very frank, okay. To write the fellow that put the fence up and say, please, you know, this is the survey, send him a copy of the survey and say, could you move your fence to 4.2 feet and the 3.3 feet, you know, and that way you just move it so it won't be in the right way. Okay? That's one way to do it. Just write him a letter. See what he said. Of course, then if he says, no, I'm not going to move my fence, then what you do is if you think that it's feasible for the county to spend the money, you sue him to make him move his fence. And of course, more than likely what he would do if he didn't want to move his fence, he'd hire a lawyer and then we'd have a battle of the surveyors. Right, Dale?
Yes, sir.
You know? And so you're sort of between the devil and the deep blue sea. too bad as folks shouldn't be encroaching on county property, but then y'all shouldn't be spending county money on such a short, little, teeny weeny bit of encroachment. So, that's what y'all need to decide.
Can you show me that map again?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad I'm on. I can see how it
is. I want you to make sure that I'm showing it correctly, Dale.
Yeah.
I think I am.
Okay.
Do you have a place out
there? I tried, but I
don't have a problem. Now, let me stand up.
I'll tell you what I did.
Mr. Berry here.
This is Mr. Berry Hills here. This is the cliff we're talking about here. The black line is the right-of-way. The blue line is the fence. The blue line is also in the ditch. If you look like in the road, yeah, to look okay. Right-of-way, the blue line is in the ditch. So, I mean, obviously, you can see the right-of-way.
Obviously, shaded in areas with
the rest of the line rock.
That's line rock. Mm-hmm. So he's off the line rock road. Mm-hmm. But he's still 4.2 yes. feet inside of that
yeah.
right-of-way.
Yeah, but you also notice that the county has their right-of-way outside of the Guarmark outside of the right-of-way, too. So, I mean, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Isn't that something that says that there's a fence that you established for 7.5 years?
No, sir.
There's no...
How far is it from here to here?
I can tell you, I can put that on there. That's what our scale.
What's the scale? Is
40.
1 inch is 40.
Yes, sir.
Feet. So that's so about 5 inches.
Yes.
200 feet.
All right, man.
Mm-hmm. That's for a little wire.
It's not an old fence. It's a relatively new fence.
It is a relatively new fence.
It's a little later new.
Mm-hmm. And it's in the ditch. I couldn't see. Other than it's in the ditch, if the county wanted to pull the ditches or anything, it'd be in the way.
Okay. Now, if he moves it out to the property line, then it'd be out of the ditch.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Then the property line would throw the pines. I mean, we do the same thing all the time. Get a little more.
He'll have to take out some pines?
Yeah, well, now he can pull it over there if I do it, but you know, it's not a clear right way.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
What he's doing is got right there where the motor grader made up.
Made a ditch.
And he put his fence right in the opening down that ditch.
As a suggestion, I would write in a letter saying that your fence is in the right of way, and if the county goes to maintain that ditch, you're going to have to move it. So if he repairs his fence, he should move it.
Move it.
I have a question. With that fence being in the ditch, what impact does it have on someone else?
Mr. Barry Hill backing out of the driveway, out of this driveway right here.
Of course, he's dropping that.
He's down. He's here.
He's here? How is this?
No, I think he owns on both sides of the road. Barry Hill's on both
his
sides.
His house is right here.
Okay.
Dale.
Okay.
And see, this is
the driveway right here that you're not proud of.
Yeah. He said, I'm not able to, the fence against him is what he says.
Even though it's in the ditch, right?
In order to show the detail, this is his in here. And, no, here, I'm sorry. I'm up down to you.
Mm-hmm.
No, here. Yeah.
Okay.
What Mr. Berry Hill said when he put the fence up there with his motor on, he couldn't blow out without doing a bunch of zigzags to get the current to go out, what he told me when I was down there looking at it.
So this fence down there, it's 5 and 6 foot off. And you can find some survey markers throughout the property. I don't know. All the property north of the 40 line is described to the road going south. All the property south of the right-of-way is from the 4 line going north. So there is no overlaps or gaps in the deed that would cause that. Mm-hmm. And the right-of-way here, whether the deed is correct or not, that is the right-of-way, but it's a prescriptive right-of-way, mm-hmm. because that's the maintained right-of-way.
Well, we have a deed.
Yeah, we'll have a... Fortunately, you have a deed for
it. So I wouldn't call it prescription.
Right, no, it's not a prescription. But what I'm saying, even in this area here, were you outside of the right of way? That would be prescriptive.
Yeah, you're right near.
But we did, we monumented it, and it's there. Thank you.
I think you've made us a good recommendation on the letter. Madam Chair, I move that we ask our attorney to furnish this gentleman with a copy of the survey and a writing letter asking him nicely to move the fence.
At least nicely, right?
Well, yes.
At least nicely.
Nicely the first time.
Right.
I can understand why he done it. If you look down that fence line there, there's a lot of trees in the way.
Yeah.
And he's like, put the trees or put his wire on the trees or, you know, yeah. You know, it's going to zigzag in the tree there. But I see why he got under that ditch. It's a nice straight shot.
Easier to put a fence.
Right.
Like Dale said, it's a relatively new fence. It's a chain link.
It's not old.
It's not old at all. You know, it's
a chain link?
Barbed wire.
Is it barbed wire?
It'll yeah. be easy for him.
Easy to move barbed wire.
And he can put it on them trees. He won't even have to use all his posts if he did it that way, if he, you know.
And you can lose that and have barbed wire around the tree.
Right.
Was he holding cows or something like that?
He's got some horses. It looked like to me. I seen a horse out there. I believe it was. When I was there. I didn't see a cow. I think it's a lot of a neighborly conflict is a lot of that.
Yeah. And once again, the Board of County Commissioners ends up in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Time again.
But I will send the letter.
Do we vote on the letter, dude?
Okay. What shall I vote on it?
Wait a minute. So we've got a motion.
Thank you.
And we've got a second. Any further discussion?
Please second.
Jim. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. County Administrator Items 21. The Board to consider execution of lease agreement with Next Edge Technology for placement of sensor on County Lot Pole in Hodges Park. As agended by the county administrator. Mr. Bishop, have you been out of this lease? And
I sure have.
Think it'd be okay?
I sure have. And I've sent a couple of letters to our county administrator. And the last one I sent was they either agree to it or they're not going to get the lease.
Right. And they're agreed.
They're agreed. One of the things that I got burned on a long time ago was where we didn't put in a lease agreement that they couldn't assign it. And ended up our lease being assigned without the okay of my client, and it just caused a big problem. So I like to put in there that this was lease will not be assigned by the tenant without the written consent of the landlord, which will not be unreasonably held off. In other words, you know, if they've got a good person or a good entity that wants the lease, fine, you know, if they can pay it, but I just don't want them to do it without having some input on that. And there was a couple other things, and they
agree.
They agree?
Yeah.
All right, so they're going to redo it?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Do your satisfaction?
Well, send it to me.
Okay,
well, there. Check. So you can, what you can do, again, you already said that you tentatively agreed to that lease with, you know, with our approval. And so you just continue on until we get one that's the finished product, right, Mr. Ted?
Yeah, be fine. Okay.
Now that generates $1,000 a year revenue.
$1,200. Yes.
$100 a month. Mm-hmm. You're a little bit counting.
Sure does, especially at Hodges Park.
Well, one of the things was that they were trying to say that, you know, we got a generic lease, and they talked about asbestos and all those kind of things and hazardous waste, and I was, you know, and I wanted that out of there, you know, just for our protection. Mm-hmm. Those are the things I wanted out of there.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Item 22,
the board to consider approval of job description for community services director as agended by the county administrator.
Did we vote and make a motion on that thing?
Well, I think he said that we would wait till we got the finished product.
Y'all have already voted. You voted contingent on it being approved by the county administrator and me.
I'm clear.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm confused.
You are aware that we do not have a library director now in place. In looking at the library director's position, we met with Isadale with the Three Rivers Library Consortium, talking about what we'd like to see in a future library director, where libraries are going, where the technology is, and as such. Libraries have evolved a lot in the last 20 years. We all remember, say, the Dewey Decimal Card System, and bought the books, the library director had to catalog them, put them in order, and there was a lot more involved in that library director's position, maintaining the balanced collection with fiction, nonfiction, the books that you look up, the law books and the medical books and all that. Well, so much is online now. And I understand these books are purchased for us by the Three Rivers. They come bar scanned. All they have to do is barcode them in, it's in the system. It's easy for the library personnel to check them out. So we got to think, well, what can we do with that position? There are a lot, and I'm going to pass this out now, there are a lot of duties that have gone unfulfilled because we just haven't had a person in this type of position. So I'm recommending that we look at evolving the library director's position into what I'm calling a community services director. And not only would you look down this, this person would have the duties of the library operations, would have that budgeting, staffing in the library, programming, staff development, spending approval for library purchases, and then, of course, working with Three Rivers in the IT part of it, and books and collections and programming and assets. But we need some other duties that I'm suggesting that we put under this person. For example, supervision of your county parks and boat ramps. We talked earlier that we are lacking in this respect. A person that we could require to do inspections of these county parks and boat ramps. Schedule needed repairs and maintenance. When we have needed repairs and maintenance now, it goes to Wanda. We can always get out and inspect the parks like we should. Of course, developing and supervising the budget for the parks and boat ramps. Staffing the boat ramps attendance. We're advertising gloves now. When the boat ramps are going full speed, coordinate with the Sheriff's Department regarding officers hired to work those boat ramps and any additional security at the parks. Coordinate with state agencies in the city when needed regarding park activities. Park host. We talked about having a park host in Athens Springs and maybe other places. This would be a person that could put that plan in place and recruit these needed hosts. Somebody has to manage that program. Develop other creative use for properties, enhance our operations, and then, of course, provide report support and administration regarding park usage and activities. Facilities management is another area that I know Ms. Fiegel wants to have a person in charge of this, wants to be uniform in our leasing policies, cost. A Steinhatchee Community Center would be comparable to the new community center we're building in the 4-H, not 4-H, but the Forest Capitol Hall spaces we rent out. Have a person manage that. Act as a rental agent of property and, of course, maintain calendar availability for these properties. Sports complex. We probably want this person maybe supervising or working at least with the recreation coordinator regarding our sports complex. We've always talked about recruiting more ball tournaments and as such. This person will be involved in that. And then, once again, ensure proper maintenance of the sports complex. I put in here events director if we wanted to have any county events or any departments that have county events. This would be a person to coordinate with those agencies on our part. And then, of course, working with county departments to recruit the volunteers we needed. So that is what I'm proposing tonight, that we take the old library director's position, we use that salary money, we enhance it a little bit, and we create a new position.
Okay. So we don't have a direct down the library then?
Not now, no. You have a vacant position.
Nobody down the one.
Nobody is down there. Wanda's overseeing the library staff right now. But there's not a library director in place.
I have a question. You know, when we talk about the Forest Capitol Hall and our vision for that, and we talked about having entertainment, trade shows, those sorts of things, we will need someone that can actually solicit some of these activities, because you can't just wait for them to come along and say, oh, we want to have such and such here. I think we need somebody actively trying to bring things in, because not only will it help our local economy, but it's just a better quality of life because we have more to do here. Would this person, could they be assigned to, you know, let's use that Forest Capitol Hall. We're putting a lot of money into it, so.
That's why I have an events person here.
That they're going to actively look for stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
I'd like to see a boat show
going, so. Yeah,
that's great. Everybody's got other ideas.
There's a lot of things that we could do. Mm-hmm. And then when this person is going to supervise and they're going to look after the maintenance and everything, as you and I talk, that's great. And I like that, but you've got to have somebody that she can say, go do it. And
yes.
Right now
we are short on that.
So that's something that we need to figure out how or what we're going to put in place, because she can, or whoever it is, he or she can all day long say, do this, but if we don't have the crew to do it, then and that's what's imperative, that we can actually get it done.
I'm just trying to focus down to a person that will be more responsible for that area. I mean, we're responsible now, but we have so many other duties between me and the one that is
hard. Let me say that, reading this list, responsibilities, this position, this would be a busy person.
Right.
They did the job like it should be. And they'll answer directly to you.
Yes.
Okay. I like it.
I've been scratching my head for quite a while how we can get this type of person. And then when the library director's position came open, and I started working with, like I said, Dale about the duties, I'm thinking, it's not as complicated maybe. That we can put these other duties in this person. So, I don't do.
As I understand, it's not short changing the library services.
No.
They can still manage.
Yes.
Because we got this consortium that's got a library and a degree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the consortium holds the Master of Library Science degree that's required to get state grants. Okay. And they apply for the state grants for us. Mm-hmm. And total credit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to ask a question that I know I'm going to be asked. I'm trying to think, what are my constituents and what is the public going to ask? And I assume probably this will happen. And I'm all for this, but I have to ask this question. Do we have anybody else that you could cross-train for any of these various things?
On our staff now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we can free up one person's duties enough. Do you? Can you think of anybody that? I don't think so.
I just asked the question because it may be asked of you. Did you have to hire somebody else? You didn't have anybody else you could cross train? If the answer is no, yes, I'm for this.
That's a pretty good list to go run.
Yeah, tell you what,
and they'll still have the library. Yeah. They'll still be doing the library budget and oversee the library staff too.
I'm going to have to be busy to go over all the bases and all this different
things.
What you're saying, they're going to have a little oversee the library and all these other things.
Yes.
And the salary on that was around $46,000?
42 is what I have. The library director was making 33. But you see where it ends in the duties.
Yeah, so you have to do, so you're going to go up 42.
Yes, that's what I'm proposing.
Right.
Would this person actually be the one to go to all the parks and look at them, or would they designate someone else to go to the parks and look at them and bring back a report?
I'd like to see this person going around on a regular basis, driving around looking at the parks.
We have a spare vehicle. Is this person going to need?
We have a library vehicle, ma'am.
We do?
Yes.
So they can use,
yes,
use that vehicle. Madam Chair, are you ready for a motion?
I sure am.
I move that we approve the job description for the Community Services Director.
I'll second.
Establish that position.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you. And whoever the selection is will have to come before you for your confirmation. It'd be in the director's position. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Just wait. Hold on. Item 23, the county administrator to discuss information items. Do you have anything
else?
Yes,
I do. Let me grab my notes here. You may have already heard the good news about the Lance plant. Has anybody heard that? Let me read it. You know, it was sent from Scott a short while ago. So good afternoon. And as promised, I am following up to say the broker has just confirmed that all participating parties have been paid and the building sale is final. Special thanks to Taylor County Board of County Commissioners and Chairman Beagle, as well as the Perry Mayor, David Sullivan, City Council, for taking time to engage in one-on-one meetings with the Amarillo executives. Additionally, I also want to thank, recognize Mark Wiggins, Taylor County Tax Collector, for his assistance in the initiative. Like they say, economic development is a team sport, and you can't win without teamwork. That's good.
Very good.
Very good.
All right.
Jobs.
Jobs.
Yes.
That's good news.
And we've all, I think everybody's had the opportunity to meet with them.
Yeah.
There's even future prospects with these guys. So. We also got a note from Pam, is it Westall? Taylor County Board of County Commissioners staff, just a note of gratitude for your help and support with and support up to and during this year's Fiddle Crab Festival. I've never seen so many cars in Steen Hatchie, not even during the first week of scallop season. The local economy felt the impact all the way from Perry to Chiefman. This was the best festival ever. Thank you. That was good news.
I heard there were a lot of people there. I happened to be sick during that time and couldn't go, but
it
was a really great event.
That's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you. Bring some more good news.
All right. We'll try.
Okay. At this time, it's comments and concerns from the public for non-agenda items. If you wish to speak on something that was not on the agenda tonight, you can come forward, state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes to speak.
I just want to address this last thing. I'm sorry. Address this last idea of yours with the library person and all the responsibilities you think this person should do. I think it's a great idea, but I don't think you're going to find anybody who's going to do that job for that pay. You might. And they can start slow, maybe, and do some of it and pick it up. But we run the little library in Steen Hatchie. We also do a whole lot of community work. And what you, all the things on your list are a big job when you're through. So I hope you find somebody.
We're going to try.
Yeah. And it sounds like a great idea to combine it all together. Right. But I think you're going to find you're going to either need more than one, you know, one and a helper, or poor LaWanda is going to end up doing a lot of it, which she's probably doing now. It's just a big job what's going to be laid out for them. But good luck.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? No? Board informational items, Commissioner Dix.
I'll talk to Mr. Dix about it.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I don't have anything to say other than usual. Appreciate you coming. I appreciate this board. It's a perfect example of how good, effective boards run. You two saw here tonight. If we make a mistake, we admit it, try to fix it. And I'm just honored to be here.
I wanted to bring to the board's attention that me and Ted met with Applied Gala Group this week, and they're getting real close to coming here. And they have hooked up with Mark Massey's group down here, the local contractor that's actually built the plant. And they're working with the city on the property, and they're working with that company about, I went down and I looked at all the drawings and everything, and they got a pretty good layout of what they're going to do, and they're planning on hiring people, and maybe it's going to come to pass. Keep your fingers crossed. Still not a done deal, but it's looking real good. And they were here for, they met with all the local loggers that called Hardwood. They met with Four Rivers. They met with the group that's going to oversee the construction of the plant. And so it's kind of, it's looking better. You know, it's been a long time coming, it's been 2 years, but they had some issues they had to cover. The local loggers gave them some samples of chip to carry back and do research on, and all that kind of stuff. So it looks like it's going to be maybe a gate, hopefully. And I mean, it'll be good for the county if they come. And it looks like they're coming. And it's good that they're going to use a local contractor to do their construction of the plant. And they're going to tie it up with location school to put one of the machines in the millwright class where people go there and they can teach young men and women how to pull the machine apart, service it, troubleshoot it, and then they'll be able to hire them right out of vocational school right into the plant once they get it in operation. So it's a win-win situation for Bay County if it passes, comes through. And I appreciate everybody coming, and I'm glad we worked together and solved this problem.
Yeah.
And because I sure had a many call about it. And I spent several hours down there talking to people yesterday. And I hope we can work out where we can keep a fence around the hole if we do clean it out. And that's just, it'll be good. And several people suggested putting a fence around another hole down there by the creek. It's got a barrier around it, solid rock in the bottom of it. We need, when we go do the fencing down there, we need to fence that off too.
Okay.
I mean, it's just a, it's a U-shaped business there by the did you look at the hole there by the river?
Yeah.
You see I'm talking
about? I seen that there was
it's as bad, you fall 8 foot down in it too.
Yeah.
You know, and there are several pieces of concrete around there that's broke and busted around the walkways that needs to be took care of while we're working on it. You know. And the fence was knocked down up there by the bathroom too. They were planning on fixing that too, is what they told me. But and somebody had said that they were going to start closing it dark and open it back up in the morning. That'll be this new job description you had for that person. That'd be a good thing for them to do. Add to that list. You know. But anyway.
We'll work on it.
Yeah, we'll work on it. That's all we got.
And Commissioner Moody, I want to thank you for your involvement, your time spent with Applied Gala. We really appreciate what you've done and working with them.
Thank you.
Back to Hampton Springs. I wonder, could we send pictures to our sheriff of the hypodermic syringes and needles and ask them, could they please have more of a presence down there? Just so we can try to stop that kind of activity. Madam Clerk, do you have anything? I
just put a report in where I've come back to the workers' comp packet, and I'll be meeting with him to talk about the workers' comp and community service.
Good, great.
The only comment he said is very high. That's the way we work on it from time to time.
Well, that would be an enhancement for us. Mr. Bishop, do you have anything?
I don't have any.
Ms. Pemberton?
No.
Mr. Lakeview? Okay, it's my time. Again, I want to thank everyone for being here this evening, and it's a pleasure and an honor for me to serve and to be part of this board. I think I'm in concurrence with the other commissioners that we have a very good working board, and as you can see, we work good together, we work together. When things come up, like we did with this, we work through it, and again, it's, I think it's going to be good. Anyone else have anything to say? If not, is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll move.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.